In our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, Luke chapter 1. And we want to begin tonight with verse 39. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for these moments that we have to open your word together, to look at the beginning of the narrative of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes and our understanding to the word, and Lord, teach us more of yourself and your plan. And Father, use it in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we recently began looking at the narrative of the entrance of Christ into the world. We saw, first of all, the very first part of the narrative had to do with Gabriel coming to the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and there Gabriel announced the birth of John, whom we know as John the Baptist. And from there, about 6 months later, Gabriel went to visit Mary and announced the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's where we want to pick it up tonight in verse 39. And it says, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste unto a city of Judah." So consider what's happened so far. God sent an angel named Gabriel, the same Gabriel that spoke to Daniel and predicted the pinpointing of the time of the birth of the Messiah. The Old Testament ended, and God was absolutely silent for 4 centuries. He said nothing. He sent no prophets, no angels. Heaven was absolutely silent for 400 long years, and then suddenly Gabriel appeared to Zechariah and Elizabeth and announced that God's plan was about to unfold. John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah, would be born to that couple. 6 months go by, and Gabriel appears to Mary and tells Mary that she will be the mother of the Messiah. And now we're told in verse 39, in those days, right after Gabriel appeared to Mary, in those days, she went to see her cousin Elizabeth. Now, this was a trip, a good journey on foot, and a couple of different sources have given different amounts of mileage from where Mary was to the hill country of Judah. One source said 70 miles, one said 80 miles, another source said 120 miles. And I guess there's reason for variation here because we're not told where she went. We don't know what city in the hill country of Judah. So it's very vague exactly where Elizabeth was living. But Mary went there. And we're also not told why Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth in verse 39 and 40. But that's where she was headed. Now, there are some good reasons to think that certain things must have been going on in the back of Mary's mind. She's now pregnant. She recently conceived. And she may have wanted to get away, perhaps get away from her family, perhaps get away from her fiancé. This was going to be a very difficult thing for her to explain to Joseph. And when she did, Joseph really didn't believe her at first. He wanted to divorce her privately. And secondly, Gabriel told Mary that her cousin Elizabeth, her older cousin Elizabeth, her much older cousin Elizabeth, was also going to receive a child supernaturally, just like Mary was going to receive a child supernaturally. Elizabeth was well beyond the age of childbearing, but Gabriel told Mary that her cousin Elizabeth would also have a child in her old age, and that she is now 6 months pregnant. And so Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, perhaps to confirm the reality of what Gabriel said. Not that she didn't believe. She did believe. We're told that she believed. But to have a supernatural confirmation, to see her older cousin, well beyond the age of childbearing, to be great with child. And that would confirm that everything Gabriel said to her was true. Now, Mary also may have been perplexed as to how to explain this pregnancy. Certainly, Joseph was going to be a hard one to tell. This was not an easy story to believe. I'm pregnant, and yet I'm a virgin. That was going to be hard for her to deal with her family. But yet Mary knew that Elizabeth would understand, because Gabriel visited Elizabeth. And Elizabeth also was going to be have a supernatural conception. It was with her husband, of course, but they were both well beyond the age of childbearing. So God did this. And there'd be nobody else on earth that Mary could really speak what was on her heart to apart from Elizabeth. Nobody else would understand quite like she would. And you know, it's a good thing to have somebody who understands what you're going through. When difficult times arise or puzzling times arise, when someone that's been through that same sort of thing that would really understand, well, that's what Mary was looking for. Elizabeth would believe her. And perhaps another reason that Mary hasted to go to visit her cousin was she knew her cousin was getting along in years. And it's hard enough, I'm told, when you're young and strong to bear a child, but when you're old and weak, that's another story altogether. So it's very likely that Mary went to help her older cousin in her time of need. And so we're told in verse 40, Mary left in haste to go to that unnamed city of Judah, and she entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. Now this is Elizabeth, the Elizabeth that we saw earlier in Luke chapter 1. Remember, her husband Zechariah was a priest, and it just so happened that year that of all the priests, thousands of them, about 20,000, Zechariah was chosen for a very special ministry, lighting the incense in the holy place. And while Zechariah was lighting the incense in the holy place, Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, appeared to him and said that even though he and his wife were well stricken in age and beyond the age of childbearing, they were going to have a son. And that his name would be John, whom we know as John the Baptist. And in verse 17 of chapter 1, Gabriel told Zechariah that his wife, Elizabeth, would bear a son in old age, and he would be John. He would be that very prophet that was not only going to be a prophet, but he was the subject of prophecy. Isaiah and Malachi both predicted the coming of John, the forerunner of the Messiah. And when he came, he turned the hearts of the fathers to their children. And when he came, he would prepare the people to receive their Messiah and to repent. But we're told in verse 20 that Zechariah was a little perplexed by what Gabriel said, and he really didn't believe. And therefore he was smitten with dumbness. And so he wasn't able to speak a word until this son was born. And then we're told in verse 24 that Elizabeth did conceive. Now, 6 months went by. Elizabeth conceived. 6 months go by, she's six months pregnant, and that's when Gabriel appeared to Mary. And Gabriel told Mary that right at that time, she would be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and she would conceive a child of the Holy Ghost. And then we're told, at the end of verse 38, and the angel departed from her. So the angel departed from Mary. And then the very next thing we're told is that Mary rose up hastily. She's now been overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. She has has been supernaturally impregnated with the Son of God. And she hastes to her cousin Elizabeth's home in verse 40. Now, this was quite a journey. Whether it was 70 miles or 120 miles, it was a long journey for a young woman, probably most of which was on foot. And so she arrives. And when she arrives at Elizabeth's house, some just wonderful things happen. And we really have to stop and think about what happened that day when Mary arrived at the home of Elizabeth. Now, we're told three things beginning in verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, John the Baptist, in her womb, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and began to prophesy. So those three things happened the moment Mary arrived at the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth in the hill country of Judah, just outside Jerusalem. Now let's look at them one by one. First of all, in verse 41, as soon as Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, Mary came to her house, made herself known, and the babe leaped in her womb. This baby was John the Baptist. He was in the sixth month of his development. Now, this wasn't a piece of tissue in Elizabeth. This was a baby. This was a baby boy. This was a human being. He had a soul and a spirit, complete DNA code. His body was two-thirds developed. There was a person in that womb. And that person was able to experience emotion. He leaped for joy. Now, some take this leaping as babies often do that in the womb of their mother. They kick and they move around and they make some motion in there. In fact, we're told when Rebekah had two children in her womb, Jacob and Esau, we're told that the children struggled within her. A lot of things happened in the womb. Now, I don't know how they were struggling. Well, hey, you stay on your side. This is my territory over here. But I'd like to share an opinion tonight as to what happened when Mary met Elizabeth. Some of it is conjecture. Feel free to disagree. While some might see that leaping was just a natural motion that all babies have in the womb of their mother, I think something supernatural happened at that time. And I think the text gives us some pretty good reason for believing that. Now, at the end of the Gospel of John, John tells us that if everything were recorded that could have been recorded about the life and ministry and teachings of Jesus Christ, the whole earth wouldn't be able to hold or contain all the volumes that would be written. So in our Bible class, what figure of speech is that in our Bible training class? Hyperbole, okay. But John meant that there are lots of things that are not recorded in the Gospels about Jesus Christ and his life and ministry and teaching. In other words, we have a very condensed version. And that leads me to believe that there are no unnecessary details in the Gospels. Every little detail that is mentioned, like the leaping of this child in the womb, is there for a purpose. So think of what happened that day Mary arrived at the door of Elizabeth. On one side of the door was Elizabeth. She was 6 months pregnant. A supernatural conception took place. Beyond the age of bearing children, a child was conceived. And this child was to be the forerunner of the Messiah. He was to be the one predicted by Isaiah, predicted by Malachi at the very end of the Old Testament. He was the one that all the Jews were waiting for, the one who would prepare Israel for the coming of Messiah. He was in the womb of Elizabeth on one side of the door. He was going to introduce Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, the Savior of the world. And on the other side of that door was Mary. And in her womb was Jehovah God. Now, we looked at that in Sunday school this morning, and if you weren't in Sunday school, you missed a good one. Tim's doing the study of the Trinity. Jehovah God was in the womb of Mary at that time, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who just maybe about a week or so, we don't know exactly how long it took and exactly what day the Holy Spirit came upon her, but it was around a week. It wasn't months or years. It was a matter of days before that, maybe a week or so, that the eternal Son left glory. Myriads of angels had been worshiping Him. He radiated with divine glory, and He emptied Himself, and He was found in the fashion of a man, in the very earliest stages of human development, in the womb of Mary. God in human flesh. God veiled in human flesh. And so we see the eternal Son in the womb of Mary on one side, and John the Baptist, the one who was going to announce to Israel, on the other side of that door, in the womb of Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the voice of Mary, when she heard the salutation of Mary, we're told the babe leapt or leaped in her womb. And we're also told that that baby leaped for joy. Elizabeth knew what had happened to Mary. Nobody got there to tell her. Remember, this happened, and immediately, right away, in those days that Gabriel spoke to her, as soon as he departed, Mary made haste to go to the hill country of Judah to tell Elizabeth what happened. Nobody emailed her. No message got there ahead of Mary. But Elizabeth knew because the Holy Spirit revealed it to her, that Mary was bearing the Messiah in her womb. And so just picture this. Here's Elizabeth with 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist, and suddenly, out of the clear blue sky, as far as Elizabeth is concerned, Mary appears. And she's bearing Messiah Himself. Jehovah God is in her womb. And as soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, she knew. And we're told that her baby leaped for joy. Verse 44. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. The joy of the Lord. Now, obviously, the babe in the womb, John the Baptist, did not understand any conversation that took place between Mary and Elizabeth, obviously. He couldn't hear their words. If he did, he couldn't understand the language. He didn't know what was being said. But think about this. He experienced the joy of the Lord through his mother. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. God revealed to her what had happened to Mary. She knew she was bearing the forerunner. She knew that now Mary was bearing Messiah. She was joyous and rejoicing in the Lord. And somehow that little babe in her womb experienced the joy of her mother, which was the joy of the Lord because of the presence of Messiah. Now, the baby didn't understand all that, but the baby experienced joy. The text tells us that. And you can call me naive if you want for believing that a six-month-old, unborn human being experienced joy, but that's what it says, and that's what I believe. Elizabeth understood that God was doing something wonderful at this time. After 400 long years of silence, God began to speak, and now God was moving. And look in this same chapter, Luke chapter 1 and verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Now here is the description of John the Baptist. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And notice this. And he shall be, this was the prediction before Mary ever came. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. So here is a six-month-old, unborn human being. And what we're told are two things about this little babe in the womb. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he leaped for joy. The Holy Spirit does not fill a tissue. Tissues don't experience joy. In the womb, John was filled with the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And he leaped for joy. There was a person in Elizabeth's womb. And there was a person in Mary's womb as well. The one we know as the Lord Jesus. The Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. So here in Elizabeth's womb, there was a male human being that had a two-thirds developed human body. He had a soul. He had a spirit. He experienced emotion, joy. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said of him, there's none greater than John the Baptist. And in some circumstances in our country today, it's legal to use an instrument to wipe out that little life. We should pray for our country. We should pray for our leaders. And we should speak up for what's right. Now in verse 41, we're also told that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was also filled with the Holy Ghost. Now keep in mind, this is still Old Testament economy. The church had not yet begun. The cross had not yet happened. The Messiah wasn't even born yet. He's still in the womb of Mary. And yet here we see Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Just as in Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit came upon certain individuals for a specific ministry. It wasn't permanent indwelling. He came upon them for a specific ministry and oftentimes left. God was doing something very special at that house that day. After 400 years of silence. Now the rumblings were beginning. God's plan to bring Messiah to Israel was now coming to pass. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The babe in her womb was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in verse 67 we see that Zechariah was also filled with the Holy Spirit. God was obviously at work here. And now they were in the very presence of Messiah. In the womb of Mary. Mary's womb had become a sanctuary for the Holy One of God. And we're told in verse 41 that as soon as Mary saluted, the babe leaped in her womb. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in verse 42, and she spake out with a loud voice and began to prophesy. Now here's something a little unusual here. Her husband, the priest, because of his unbelief, was silent. God smote him with the inability to speak until John was born. And God filled his wife. And she was filled with the Spirit and she began to speak loudly. And she began to prophesy. And look at her words. Verse 42. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Nobody told her that. She knew that Messiah was in the womb of Mary. The Holy Spirit revealed this to her. She is prophesying. And in verse 42, she says, blessed are you among women. There was a special blessing on Mary. This was a special privilege. Of all the women in Israel, she was the one that was chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. Now notice, she was not blessed over all women, but she was honored among all women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Elizabeth understood that Messiah was in her womb. And notice her response. In humility, she says in verse 43, and whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? It almost seemed like it should have been the other way around, that here, although it was a wonderful privilege for Elizabeth to bear the forerunner to the Messiah, Mary was bearing Messiah himself. And she said, "Why?" It was almost like she should have gone to Mary. But of course, obviously, she was a much older woman, and Mary came to her. And Elizabeth referred to the babe in Mary's womb as "my Lord." Deity was present, and she recognized that. Only days after conception, deity was in her womb. And verse 44, "And lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." The joy of the Lord. And Elizabeth goes on in praising Mary and says in verse 45, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Now Elizabeth says to Mary that you are blessed because you believed. And this is a different word for blessed than the one that was used previous. This word means happy, rejoicing. And why was Mary to be rejoicing and happy and blessed? Because she believed God. What a great thought. The real blessing in life comes not from what God does for us, but when we believe what He says. Not by getting what we want from God, but resting in His promises. Mary believed God. Now that's unlike Zechariah. When he heard a message about a supernatural conception from the same angel, Gabriel, he didn't believe and God smote him and he was dumb until the baby was born. But Mary believed right away. She didn't come to see her cousin Elizabeth because she was skeptical about what the angel said. She believed what the angel said. And therefore she came to minister to her cousin. She pondered these things in her heart, but she believed them. And look back in verse 37 of Luke chapter 1. "For with God nothing shall be impossible." After being told something that seemed impossible, you're a virgin and you're going to have a child. And this child is going to be the desire of all the nations, the one that all the Jewish women desired to be mother to. "You've been chosen, Mary." And it seems so incredible to her. In verse 37, she's told, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And notice Mary's response of faith. "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Mary believed. Mary submitted to God's will for her life. And then Elizabeth says in the second part of verse 45, "For there shall be a performance of those things which were told thee from the Lord." So now her faith is confirmed. Gabriel told her what would happen, and now Elizabeth is living proof that what Gabriel said was true. She's 6 months pregnant, an older woman well beyond the years of age of bearing children, but she's bearing a child. And now Elizabeth says to a woman, a young, humble woman, a godly, trusting woman, she assures her that there shall be a performance of those things which were told her. And what did Gabriel tell her? Verse 31, that her child's name would be Jesus, Jehovah saves. And in verse 32, that he would be the Son of God, God the Son, deity. And that he would be the promised seed of David, the one who will fulfill the Davidic covenant and all of its promises to Israel. And in verse 33, she is told that her son would reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there would be no end. And in verse 35, that her child would be conceived of the Holy Spirit. And Mary believed God's message. Her son would soon become Messiah, King of Israel. He would bring in that long-promised and longed-for golden age of all the prophets, that earthly, messianic, mediatorial kingdom of God that would replace all the kingdoms of the world, and they would become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Mary's son. Great joy belongs to those who believe. Great joy belongs to those who rest in God's promise. And now all Mary had to do was wait and allow God to work and work out all the circumstances that were way beyond Mary's ability to fathom and put together. But she just had to live each day, day by day, trusting and resting and waiting for God to work all these details out in her life. And you know what? That's the same God that works in our lives as well. And all we need to do is trust in Him and walk by faith, obediently, submitted to His will, ready to say, "Here am I, send me." And God can use us to bring His plan to pass. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the marvel of the incarnation and the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, into the world. Father, we thank You for the details that are revealed to us. And Lord, we know that no detail is without purpose or design. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Help us, Lord, to apply it to our lives. Help us to follow the example of godly saints of old, like Mary and Elizabeth. And God, we pray that fruit would be born in our lives for Your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's turn in our hymnals.